إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة. من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد، ومن يعص الله ورسوله فلا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، الله تعالى في القرآن والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا وإن الله لمع المحسنين. Those who fight and struggle for us, we will guide them to our path, and Allah is with those who are righteous. Among the meaning of this verse is the struggle of one within himself, which is in Arabic referred to as jihad in nafs. Among the meaning of that in this verse is jihad in nafs, which is a struggle of one within himself. Let's take the breakdown of these two terms, jihad and nafs, the internal struggle of one in himself. The first word is jihad, we're going to get to it. The second one is an-nafs. What do we mean by an-nafs? The internal struggle. The scholars like Ibn al-Qayyim and the rest of them have pulled out categories of one struggle within himself. And pay attention to this, because we're going to later base an example on what we talk about in the beginning of this khutbah. The first one is an-nafs al-lawwam. One whose internal self blames him, goes commits a sin, or is about to commit a sin, and then he sits with himself and says, why did I do that? Or I shouldn't do that. He blames himself, which is good. It's good if it's in this life. But a nafs al-lawwama could happen in the life after. It's not right. It's going to be bad. So the first one is a nafs al-lawwama. If you blame yourself for sins in this life, that's really what repentance is. The second one, an-nafs al-mutma'inna, which within you, your nafs, tells you do the good deed. Go to the masjid. Your nafs within you tells you do that. If there's a sin or a desire you want to commit, you stay away from that sin or desire, because an-nafs al-mutma'inna comes into play and tells you follow the guided path. Allah said in the Quran, يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةُ اِرْجِعِي إِلَىٰ رَبِّكِ رَاضِيَةً مَرْضِيَّةً. And this is, you know, a lot of the graves, this is a side issue, a lot of the graves, they have a tombstone, and on the tombstone they put this verse. And the verse really means, oh you beautiful and pious soul, the pure soul, come to us رَاضِيَةً مَرْضِيَةً. You're pleased and we're pleased with you. فَادْخُلِ فِي عِبَادِي. Come under me and come to my pleasure and my Jannah. That's the nafs al-mutma'inna. The last one, an-nafs al-ammara bis-su'. The third one is an-nafs al-ammara bis-su'. That's the nafs that pushes you to do the sins. We have three so far. The first one is a nafs that puts you, your internal desire, that tells you to do the good deed. The one who tells you stay away from the haram. Do the good deed, stay away from the haram. The second one is one where you blame yourself and you regret things you're about to do or gonna do. That's good in this life, not good in the life after. You can't regret it. You're gonna regret it in the life after, but it's gonna be of useless to you. And the last one is your desire to do the sin. Because your nafs within you, you have desires to do the haram. And that, an-nafs al-ammara bis-su. Three. Someone, and you should, while I'm saying this, check yourself and see, under which one of these three do I fall? However, you could at times absorb and fall under all three of them together. In months of your life, in days of your life, within a day of your life, you could wake up in the morning, say, Alhamdulillah, الذي أحيانا بعد ما أماتنا وإليه المشور. Alhamdulillah, Allah gave us life after death, meaning the sleep, and we shall return to Allah. That's the nafs, al-mutma'inna, the good nafs. Then you go out and work with all the desires, all the sins that are around us. You may commit a sin. An-nafs al-ammara bis-su. The third one, you get back home at night. Oh, I did this and I did that today and I regret it. An-nafs al-lawwama. All three of them could happen in one day. All three of them, you can work them out and make them strong, just like you make your body strong. Just like people go out and work out and weightlift to make their muscles strong, you can make one of these nafs stronger than the other. Keep committing sins and sins, your nafs that causes you to do the sins, it's going to be the strongest one. Keep resisting those sins and temptations, and then your nafs al-mutma'inna is the one that's going to be strong. Then you got a fourth subcategory that some scholars made, which is not mentioned in the Quran. And that's probably the vast majority of the Muslims today, an-nafs al-ghafila, the unworried mind. He's careless. The good people come by, he's good with them. The evil people come by, he's evil. What are you living for? I'm living to get married and have kids, and that's my life. The woman, I just want to raise my kids, and that's it. Islam has no place in their minds. Those are the people who Allah said they're like the animals. Those are the people who Allah said they're like the animals. لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. They have hearts. Their hearts are beating. But they can't absorb nothing in those hearts. وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ. They have eyes. But they don't see in their eyes. What they don't see, that you were created for something beyond getting married and having kids and retiring and have grandkids and sitting on the rocking chair with your wife and looking at your grandkids. Those are the ones, لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ مَا in their hearts, that they can't comprehend the truth. وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ. Eyes, they don't see what they're living for. وَلَهُمْ أَذَانٌ. They have ears, but they can't absorb the truth. They can't hear the truth or what they were created for. What is the conclusion? They're like animals. Animals have babies and married and they have relationships. أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ. They're like animals. The ones who don't live for their religion and their belief. أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ. But Allah says no. Not only are they like animals, بَلْ هُمْ أَضَالُ. The animal's better than them. The donkey knows what he was created for. He knows I'm here to carry people on my back. And a human being doesn't know he was created for Islam and for his religion. A cow knows he was created to give milk and give his flesh later on so people can eat it. He knows that. And a human being doesn't know he was created. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Those are the people, my life. Allah says, Salah, my sacrifice. And mahiyai, my whole life, lillahi rabbil alameen, la sharika lah. When they used to take Yahya, Yahya, Allah said he has a lot of wisdom in the Quran. Wa ataynahu al-hukma sabiyya. We gave him wisdom. The reason scholars say Allah gave him the wisdom is since he was a little boy, he always knew that he was created for his religion and for the sake of believing in Allah. That's why Allah said he has the wisdom. That's the first point about the fourth category. Those who are mindless in their life. Allah also describes them as people with no life. You know, there's a general statement we go around here and we tell someone who doesn't say something we don't like, go get a life. And we say that to everyone who doesn't practice his religion. Go get a life. It's not us who says it. أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ. Doesn't Allah the one who created us know? He says those without a belief, go get a life. Wallahi. Go get a belief. Listen to what Allah said in the Quran. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِلرَّسُولِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا استجيبوا لله وللرسول إذا دعاكم لما يحييكم.
Oh, you who believe in Allah. Ibn Abbas and Ibn Mas'ud said, if you hear, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, give me your attention. Give me your attention, because it's not me who's saying, oh, you who believe in Allah. It's who created you saying, oh, you who believe in Allah. Allah says, oh, you who believe in Allah, respond to Allah and His Messenger if they call you to that which gives you life. Life? We're all living. If you're not living, how can you respond? Allah's trying to tell you, if you don't respond to that which Allah and His Messenger call you, you got no life. Go get a life. لِمَا يُحْيَاكُمْ أَوَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا. Is he who was dead? Look at that. وَجَعَلْنَا أَوَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا. He's dead. فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ. We put life into him. وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ. And we put brightness within him to walk among people. You know what the dead and alive have? The one who follows Islam and one who doesn't follow Islam. أَوَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا. The one who's dead. He's dead. He's walking. His heart is beating. He can see. He can hear. But wallahi al-azim, according to Allah, he's dead. He's really dead. وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِ. Whoever turns away from the path of Allah, فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ. A miserable. Allah didn't say life. Ma'isha. Allah could have said, Hayatan Banka. Hayat means life. But when Allah talks about those who are astray, brings other words other than life. He could have said, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِ فَإِنَّ لَهُ حَيَاةً. A life of miserable. A miserable life. However, he says, Ma'isha Banka. Ma'isha. And the difference between the two is Hayat is one who is a Muslim and who abides by Islam and knows why he was created for and why he uses himself and his, the things Allah gave him for. He knows that, he's living. One who doesn't do that, his heart is beating. He can hear, he can talk, but that's not the life that Allah wants in the Quran. That's not the life that Allah mentions. Allah telling him, go get the real life. We know the four categories of an-nafs. And you get greeted in heaven by whichever one you choose. You choose to overwhelm your desires over the path of Allah, then get greeted in the life after by the verses of Allah. أن تقول نفس يا حسرة على ما فرطت في جنب الله. Oh my God. You say, oh my God, I really missed out in the life before.
وَإِن كُنْتُ لَمِنَ السَّاخِرِينَ.
I took life as a joke. Life to me was a joke. Not a joke, joke. But I thought life was all about getting married, having kids, becoming an engineer and a lawyer and doctor, and that's all life was about. سَاخِرِينَ.
أَوْ تَقُولَ لَوْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ هَدَانِي لَكُنْتُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ.
Maybe it was Allah's fault. If He guided me, you're telling that in front of Allah.
أَوْ تَقُولَ لَوْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ هَدَانِي لَكُنْتُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ.
Maybe if Allah guided me, I would have followed the right path.
أَوْ تَقُولَ حِينَ تَرَى الْعَذَابَ لَوْ أَنَّ لِي كَرَّةً.
Then you see hellfire. Oh Allah, give me one more chance.
لو أن لي كرة فأكون من المحسنين.
You see hellfire? Allah, I want another chance.
بلى قد جاءتك آياتي.
You got my miracle. You got my lesson. You heard the verses of Allah. You went away. You heard the khatib. You heard the lesson. You heard the talk. You disobey, it's too late for you. That's why you need to give power and work out your nafs al-mutmainna so you can kill the other nafs, the nafs that always pushes you to do the sin. A unique question about this topic. How do you know? Is it the devil who's pushing you to do a sin? Or is it your nafs that's pushing you to do a sin? And I can tell you the easy way to find out. You know, the Prophet ﷺ said in Ramadan, inshallah, Ramadan is coming up very soon, the shaitan is shackled. مرض الشياطين are shackled. Allah gathers and shackles them. That's why Ramadan you see less sin. Okay, if the shaitan is shackled, then why is there still sin? There's still clubs open over here in our country. There's still sins here in our country. The answer to that is the topic of this khutbah. There's a nafs that pushes you to do the sin. There's a nafs to do the sin. So how do you know how to deal with it? Which is from the shaitan and which is from your nafs? The answer is simple. If it's pushing you to do sin after sin, and there are different sins, it's the shaitan. Because the shaitan doesn't care what sin you're committing. He doesn't care what sin you're committing. As long as he makes you commit a sin, it may be shirk. It may be an innovation. And that's how the shaitan starts off. Putting doubts in you about Allah. About Allah. And things about Allah. Who created this masjid? Who created this building? Who created the sky? Allah created. Who created Allah? The shaitan. If that doesn't work, he moves to innovation. If innovation doesn't work, he moves on to sin, which is the last thing he does. He doesn't care what you do as long as you fall in his trap. And nafs is different. And nafs sticks behind one sin. Girl. That's my life. I want girls. 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 Day after day. Girls. Alcohol. Alcohol. Day after day. That's your nafs. You gotta work on your nafs. The first one you say, I was a bilam, she thought he's gonna come back later with another sin. Your nafs, you gotta work on it. And work on it like we're gonna be talking about today. That's how you know the difference between the two. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he says, jihad, the struggle of a nafs, is category. The first category is the struggle against your desires. We have desires. Allah put in you desire of opposite sexes, like He put within you desire of food and water. You gotta control that desire. You also have the desire not to do the hadith or date. Sometimes you have things to do, and it's time for asr. Which one should you overwhelm? The things you have to do, or follow the commands of Allah? You have to work on that. The first one is the desire. The second one, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says, the struggle for knowledge. Muslims without knowledge. What kind of Muslims are they? You know, if you put today on the internet or in a group or anywhere an Islamic question, everyone gives his input. What do you think, is this haram or halal? Everyone's a sheikh today. In our day in life today, everyone's a sheikh. Allah said among the major sins in the Quran, وَأَن تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَحِيقَ, attributed it to adultery and killing. And he said, and another one I give you, وَأَن تَقْ speaking about Allah without knowledge. You go to an engineer, you go to a doctor, a lawyer, and you go in a public place and you ask them a legal question. Well, Allah, brother, here's a good lawyer, go call. Is this haram or halal? Everyone's a sheikh today. So Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says, the second one is a struggle to obtain Islamic knowledge. Halakat of Quran, halakat of tafsir. Put a tape in your car when you go in and come in from work, listening to a lecture to Quran. Buy Riyad al-Salihin, buy a book about seerah. Obtain the Islamic knowledge. The third one, he says, putting the Islamic knowledge into practice. That's a struggle. It's easy to absorb knowledge. Allah said about Bani Israel before, they're like donkeys with books on their back. What's a donkey with a Torah on his back? What's a donkey going to get out of it? You know what he means? They got the knowledge, but they don't work and apply that knowledge, just like a donkey with a Quran on his back. Just like a Muslim with a Quran on his back. He doesn't work and put it into practice. That's the third one that Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah is mentioning. The fourth one he says is to give da'wah about that knowledge. You gotta see something, you see something wrong. That's why Allah destroyed Bani Israel. You see something wrong or shortcomings of your brothers, you gotta help them and work with them regarding these matters. And then he talks about the struggle of staying steadfast on the Islamic knowledge. For example, a woman who wears hijab. She learned that hijab is a ursay, she went and wore it. Maybe her relatives are gonna give her problems. Maybe her boss is gonna give her a problem. Maybe in the street she's gonna be mocked. You gotta be patient. Allah told Luqman to tell his son, Ya bunayya aqim as-salah, perform your prayers, wa'mur bil ma'ruf, ordain the good, forbid the evil, wasbir ala ma, be patient. You can't be a Muslim with standards and not face trials and tribulations. It's impossible. It's impossible. You can't be a Muslim and true Muslim without facing trials and tribulations. The next one is the struggle against the shaitan, and he brings branches against that, and struggles against, you know, he mentions plenty of them. I gave you the ones that concern our khutbah today, which are the struggles, that what we call and define as jihad in nafs. Listen to what some of the tabi'een said. Some of the tabi'een, when they used to mention this topic, they used to mention it when they come back from battlefields. And they say we came from, actually some people claim it's a hadith, but it's a fabricated hadith. However, to the tabi'een, it's authentic. It's narrated by plenty of tabi'een. They used to say when they come from the battlefield, we come from the big jihad to the small. From the small jihad, which is the one fighted, to the big jihad. You know what the big jihad? The jihad of this life, the internal struggle against themselves. They took that to mean harder upon themselves than in the battlefield what they used to go in the battlefield. Some of the tabi'een used to say, whomever does not become victorious over his internal struggle, the jihad enough, he's a failure. Other tabi'een said, wallahi, how can a Muslim claim to be a Muslim and want to achieve victory in this life when he can't become a victorious man over his own self? How can you? How can a Muslim look to victory, whether in his household or around him, when he can't achieve victory in himself? Some of them said, whomever doesn't achieve victory in himself is a slave of that sin he did. And you know what happens on the judgment day? The slave of the sin doesn't mean you worship the bars and the club and backbiting and mocking Muslims and talking about the righteous believers. That's worshiping. When it controls you, when the sin controls you, that's exactly what worshiping a sin is. The people who worship backbiting come up on the judgment day. Worship, but I only used to do it. No, you worshiped it. The people who are addicted to clubbing, come on. Every Friday and Saturday you have to go clubbing. The ones who are addicted to girls, come on. Adultery and haram and fornication. On the judgment day, you're the slave of that sin because that sin controls you. أَرَأَيْتَ مَنْ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَاهُ. You see one who takes his mind as his governor and leader. وَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ. And Allah, he wanted to be led astray, so Allah led him astray. The Prophet ﷺ raised the Sahaba to become victorious against their own self before anything else. Rabi' al-Aslami رضي الله عنه, in authentic hadith in Muslim, said, I used to serve the Prophet ﷺ, and one day, he's not the servant, not the slave of the Prophet, but rather someone who hung around the Prophet ﷺ to learn from him and have the honor of helping the Prophet ﷺ. He said, one morning I went and gathered water so the Prophet ﷺ can make wudu. After he used the bathroom, I was waiting there with the water so I can pour it upon him so he can make wudu. He said, and then the Prophet looked at me, was happy that I had it ready for him. He said to Rabi'ah, you know how old Rabi'ah was? 17 years old at that time. Young one. Look at their youth. Look how they used to think. He said, Rabi'ah, ask me anything you want and you're going to get it. What do you want, Rabi'ah? Rabi'ah said, my mind went from one area to another area. What do I want? And he said, after a short term of silence, I said, O Prophet of Allah, I want to be your partner in heaven. What do I want more than that? What's best? How many of us? You tell me that, I tell you I want a house in Bloomfield Hills. That's what I would tell you. Hibri Rabi'ah, a young youth, said, O Prophet of Allah, I want to be your partner next year in heaven. How are you going to get that, Rabi'ah? A'inni ala nafsik bi kathrati sujood. Struggle with yourself to make a lot of sujood. You may not want to make a lot of sujood. Jihad in nafs, do a lot of struggling against yourself and do a lot of sujood to Allah. That's how the rest of the Sahaba were. The Sahaba were, as you probably know, the bums of their time. The only reason before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the only reason the Romans and Persians didn't invade them is because they had nothing to invade. Mecca, town with nothing in it. Drought, nothing to. What do they need with it? Something changed. You know what changed? When they became victorious over their own desires, they became victorious over the world. Within 13 years, they led the world. How did that happen? They were out of flesh and blood before the Prophet ﷺ, and they were from flesh and blood after the Prophet ﷺ. What changed? We're from flesh and blood too. We're from flesh and blood too, so we can be like them. What's the difference? What happened? When they became victorious over themselves, Allah made them victorious. You know what happened? Before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent, there was prostitution houses. Houses, in history books they call them the houses with red flags. Prostitution houses. Back before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for 100 years after him, there was 6 times that someone was either whipped or stoned for adultery. From houses of prostitution, widespread throughout Mecca and Medina, to only 6 times, 100 years from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent, and so 100 years after that, what changed? They became victorious. Jihad enough that they did upon themselves. Stealing. They were corrupt. They were scam artists. What happened to them after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? 4 cases, 100 years from when the Prophet was sent to 100 years after him, 4 times someone's hand was cut. What changed? They became victorious. The Prophet raised them to become victorious over themselves, and that's what made them what they were and what we look up to today, and who we will look up to until the judgment day. هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم يسلو عليهم آيات. He's the one who sent among the messengers, among those people, an illiterate man, يسلو عليهم آيات, to recite the Quran. ويزكيهم, and purify their manners. Before that, they were indeed astray. It was Islam. Just like Umar. Every time, internally he felt so proud, he get up on the speech ladder. And he says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah. And he opens an introduction. You guys know who I was? This, people look at him. What's wrong with Umar today? He says, I was a man before called Umayyah. When he was a baby, they used to call him Umayyah. And after that, they called me Umar. Now they call me the Khalifa of the Muslims. You know who I was? I was a man who used to take the sheep of my aunt to the outskirts of Mecca and raise those sheep. And you know when one of those sheep used to use the bathroom, I used to sometimes open my hand and clean behind that sheep. And he began to explain something disgusting like that. And he got down. Ali radiallahu anhu said, Omar, what are you doing? You only put yourself down. What was the basis? What did you do that for? He said, I felt internally so proud, I wanted to put myself down. He used to sit and cry. Uthman said, I passed by his house, and he used to sit and cry. Umar, you were Umayyah. Before you were Khalifa of the Muslims, you were Umar. Before you were Umar, you were Umayyah. Fear Allah, Umar, before Allah dooms you. When he felt proud inside. The struggle of within one's nafs. That's what the jihad and nafs is all about. That's why they were pure people. How can one? Yes, we all have our flaws. And we all have our mistakes. That's why we quickly repent to Allah. But how can one be swayed with his desires and his sins? Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says, how can your sin, how can your nafs defeat you? How can your nafs, your struggle against your nafs defeat you? When Ibrahim, when Nuh alayhi salam went through a struggle for 950 years and became victorious out of it. When Ibrahim was thrown in a huge fire for his struggle. When Zechariah's neck was cut off for the struggle. When Yahya was cut into 2 pieces for his struggle. When Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was tossed around and bullied around by the people of Mecca, by the people around him, and mocked and made fun of. They even used to make fun of his name. Fun of his name, mock his name. And when they mentioned that name, that they used to mock his name, the Prophet told the Sahaba, no, they're talking about someone else. To calm the Sahaba down, to comfort them. He says, if those went through that, how can you not win a struggle against yourself? أقول هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروا. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أما بعد. We took the breakdown of jihad and nafs in the first khutbah, and now I want to give you an example of something we all need to do jihad and nafs in it. The most basic command of Islam after أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله. You all know, more than I know, the danger of leaving prayer. I don't want to talk about prayer. Look at the percentage of the ummah who pray. You guys, everyone knows, everyone has family. Pull up the percentage of those who pray and those who don't pray. You can't say, well, brother, I have iman in my heart. You're a liar. Say iman in my heart and you don't pray? Wallahi al-azim, you're a liar. The Prophet said it. Kazabu, liar. If they really thought good about Allah, they would show it in their practice. In Surah Al-Asr, the same thing. If they truly believe in Allah, they would show it in practice. You can't say, well, brother, my heart is, I don't hurt no one, I don't... Brother, you gotta show it. When Allah says pray 5 times a day, and you're gonna be with Haman and Qarun and Fir'aun on the judgment day if you don't pray, that's the least. I'm not gonna go to the dispute, is he Muslim or Kafir? Put that aside. But the least of his authentic hadith that he's gonna be with Muhammad, Fir'aun and Qarun on the judgment day. That's his punishment. The one who doesn't pray. What percentage of the ummah pray today? That's not what I wanna talk about either. A subcategory of that. The percentage of those who pray, how many pray the Fajr on time? That's what I want to talk about. The percentage, which inshallah all of us pray today, how many of those who pray the Fajr on time? I could say from the ummah, less than 2-3% probably pray on time in constant basis. How many of the ummah pray the Fajr on time? That's jihad enough. If you can't become victorious in that, wallah, you're a failure. You want to sleep? That's peace for your body. When you hear, As-salatu khayrun ala an-nawm, salatu khayrun min an-nawm, and you're sleeping, that's peace for your body. But you need peace with Allah. When you're sleeping and you hear, As-salatu khayrun min an-nawm, you're dead. Like those verses we mentioned, not dead, sleep dead, but your heart is dead. When you get up and reply to the call of Allah, you're alive. You're alive with Allah. Like the one who took the darkness away and went in the path of Allah. When you hear As-salatu khayrun min an-nawm and you know it's time for Fajr and you're still sleeping, you're a slave of the shaitan. You're a slave of the shaitan. If you get up, you're a slave of Allah. When you know As-salatu khayrun min an-nawm is being called or it's time for Fajr and you're sleeping, we're like animals and pigs and donkeys. You're sleeping and they're sleeping. And most of the human beings as well. When you get up, you're the only pious person, the few pious of the believers who say, Ya Allah, labbaik, whatever you want, Ya Allah, I'm here to respond. Salat al-Fajr. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whomever prays Salat al-Fajr in Jama'ah is as though he stayed up half of the night praying to Allah. One of the best things you could do other than the 5 prayers is get up to Allah alone and pray to Allah. One of the best things you could do, shed some tears to Allah and ask Allah what you want. If you pray the Fajr in Jama'ah, you get half of that night. You pray the Isha in Jama'ah, you get as though you pray from Fajr, from Isha until Fajr, praying and crying to Allah. The Ajr, just for praying them in Jama'ah. Look how simple that is. Someone say, well, the message is too far. You got children, you got a wife, you got family. Gather them and pray the Jama'ah in your house. What's wrong with that? You know on the judgment day, Allah says, وَإِن مِّنكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا كَانَ عَلَىٰ رَبِّكَ حَتْمًا مَقْضِيًّا. Everyone, are you going to enter it? Hellfire. When the Sahab heard that, it causes a problem for them because they really believed it. It didn't go from one ear out of the other ear. It sank in and registered in. We're going to go in it? What do you mean? Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described to him, that's a bridge sharper than the edge of a sword, thinner than a hair. Everyone got to go across it. You know what's going to get you across that? Salat al-Fajr. Bashir al-Masha'ina bil-Zulam bil-Nur al-Tam yawm al-Qiyamah. Give the good news, the tidings, the good news to those who walk in the darkness. Walk in the darkness, why? Walk in the darkness to turn the light on when you get up for Fajr. Walk in the darkness to make wudu. Walk in the darkness maybe to go to the masjid if there's a masjid nearby. Walk to the masjid for Isha in the night time. Walking in the night time. You're going to be crossing that bridge with brightness. Because you know what gets you through that bridge? The brightness you have on you. The people, the hypocrites, who Allah says, وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَى. If they get up to pray, they get up too lazy. They say to the believers, انظرونَ نَتَّبِعْ مِن نُورِكُمْ. We want some of your brightness. We want a little bit of your brightness. قِيلَ ارْجِعُوا وَرَاءَكُمْ فَالْتَمِسُوا نُورًا. Go back behind you. Mark it up. Go back over there and get some brightness. The brightness comes to you from Salat al-Fajr. Walking in the darkness for Salat al-Fajr. Praying Salat al-Fajr. مَنْ صَلَّ الْبَرْدَيْنِ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. Sahih Muslim. All these are Sahih Muslim or Bukhari. مَنْ صَلَّ الْبَرْدَيْنِ. The ones that come in the coldness, the most one that comes in the coldness is al-Fajr. The other one that comes in the cold is night, Isha. Whomever prays those two, دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. Imagine that. You want to know if you're a hypocrite or not? Do I pray the Fajr on time or not? Ask yourself, am I a hypocrite or not? أثقل الصلاة على المنافقين صلاة الفجر وصلاة العشاء. The toughest salah on the hypocrite is صلاة الفجر and صلاة العشاء. And if they know the reward of them, they come to the masjid crawling. They come to the masjid crawling. You guys want to look at Allah on the judgment day? We all want to enter heaven. But in heaven, the best you could have in heaven is seeing Allah. The best. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith narrated by Jarir al-Bujali in Sahih Muslim and al-Bukhari says, he was standing, Jarir al-Bujali said, we were in a halaq around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he looked up at night and he said, you see how you see the moon on the 13th, 14th of the Hijri month? You see how beautiful it is? You're gonna see Allah like you see that moon in heaven. The best. That's the peak. That's the light. The people who claim they're living up their life today, when they get to the life after, they know, يَا لَيْتَنِي قَدَّمْتُ لِحَيَاتِ. I wish I really did something for that life. He said, you're going to see Allah like you see that moon. That's what everyone in heaven is enjoying themselves. Visiting and in the market of heaven on Friday, and meeting each other, and meeting the Prophet and Musa and Aisha, and whoever you want to like. And then there's a hijab that opens up. And then everyone sees Allah. And when they see Allah, they think they've never seen from the pleasure of heaven anything before that in Bahrain. You want to see Allah? In Sahih Muslim, he says, A'ayyuni ala salatin. Pray a salat before sunrise and another before sunset. Salat al-Fajr and Salat al-Asr. If you want to see Allah, if you want to see Allah, you have to do that. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, we know a hypocrite when he starts missing Salat al-Fajr in the masjid. I'm not saying in the masjid. I'm saying let's start off praying Salat al-Fajr on time. And if you, and we inshallah all do that over here, pray it and convey the message. Wallahi al-Azim, whoever does not pray the Fajr on time has a life of hardship. You know who the one who doesn't pray the Fajr on time is? You know how the American bathrooms are? Where they have for the male section, somewhere where the urinate stand. That's what you are to the devil if you don't pray the Fajr on time. Hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, Muslim, narrated by Ibn Mas'ud. The Sahaba said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's a man who didn't get up for Fajr on time. He said, ذلك مبولة الشيطان. He's the ذلك بال الشيطان في أذنيه. The shaitan urinated in his ears. How disgusting. How disgusting. The curse, creation of Allah, the worst creation of Allah, urinates in your ear. You're a urinary toilet for the shaitan if you don't get up on Fajr. You know how to know someone who get up on Fajr and who didn't? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in another authentic hadith, the one who doesn't get up on Fajr. We're practical here. We taught this so it'll sink in and we absorb it and go and convey it. We're practical. Let us get out with an oath to Allah that from today on we never miss the Fajr. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you sleep, the shaitan comes on top of your head and says, when he says, As-salatu khayrun min an-nawm. As-salatu khayrun min an-nawm. The shaitan is on top of your head saying, عَلَيْكَ لَيْلٌ طَوِيلٌ فَرْقُدْ. You got a long night's sleep. It's cold. You're going to get up out of the comfort of your bed, make wudu, probably need to take a shower. It's tough upon you. Don't get up. Stay. And he ties a knot over his head. You know what that knot is? I'm going to tell you exactly what that knot is. Then he goes again, As-salatu khayrun min an-nawm. The shaitan says, عَلَيْكَ لَيْلٌ طَوِيلٌ فَرْقُدْ. And ties a knot on top of his head. The third time, the same thing. If he gets up and praises Allah, one man goes away. Alhamdulillah, الذي أحيانا بعد ما أماتنا وإليه. One man goes away. He makes wudu or showers for salah. Another knot goes away. He performs a prayer. A third knot goes away. You know, the one who has those knots, that's the one who goes to his job in the morning and has a problem with his boss. And he got a ticket that day. And then he gets ill that day. And then a family member dies that day. And a hardship falls that day. And then he goes on lithium and Prozac that day. Because it's not after not after not. Just three knots per day. Those are the problems of your life. You got a ticket? Ask Allah, did I wake up on Fajr? Wallahi, like the brothers that come around us, I tell them, every time they have a problem, they say, call me up, Sheikh, wallahi, I didn't pray the Fajr today. That's why this happened. Yeah? Wallahi, you're right. And you know who's happier? The guy who woke up 6 o'clock, 5:30, or that guy who's sleeping? Wallahi, that guy who woke up and got up is happier. Because that guy whose desires overwhelmed him, look at him. He got all the girls you want. He got all the clubs you want. He got all the money you want. Where are they? They're on their weekends drunk. If you're really happy, why would you want to lose your mind? If you're really happy, why do you need to go on marijuana and crack? I say, take the people of this country, take the percentage of those who want drugs, the illegal drugs, and alcohol, and the legal, the present drugs, you come up with a few percentage, you are just okay. Yeah, those are the nuts of the shaitan that make your life miserable. So when you have a problem, you ask yourself, I ask you by Allah, we get finals. When we're in school, we stop finals. And you get brothers who say, well, my brother, I've been working for 20 years. Brother, how many times did you miss going 7 o'clock in the morning to your job? Two times. If I got the third time, they would have rolled me up. Yeah, you can do that for an employer. But for Allah who gave you these beautiful eyes and this beautiful face and these hands that no one on this earth could give you. If they fire you from Ford, you go get another job. But if Allah takes your eye, who's going to give you another one? Isn't that enough for you to jump up in the morning and pray the Fajr? Like when we have finals. You sleep probably a few hours before the finals. Wake me up, mom, dad, so and so. I want to have to wake up. And wallah al-azim, you wake up. But Allah, no one wakes up for him. That's something we need to work on. Some of the things, quickly, the last thing I end up with, practical things. To wake up on Fajr, put sincerely in your heart. In your heart that you're going to wake up. Just like you will put in your heart. For 25 years, I know people never missed a minute of it. Wallah, wallah, I know a guy bragging up to me. So 25 years, I always go on time. How many times do you pray the Fajr on time? Never. Never. Allah doesn't need it. It's not worth it to Allah, but it's worth it to a middle person who provides you through the will of Allah. That's the number one. Put it in your mind that you're going to do it. Number two, you got to sleep early. If you can't control yourself, you have to sleep early. The Prophet ﷺ said, I used to hate after Fajr to speak immediately to his bed. If you know, you're not going to wake up. If you know you're going to wake up, stay up. And the next thing is be practical. You need an alarm clock. Two or three brothers call each other in the morning. You know, everyone calls themselves in the morning. And I do that to brothers. Me and some brothers agree to that. You crack a joke in the morning, you call them up, crack a joke, he's going to jump up and go and make movies. That's how we have to be. This is the simplest thing of jihadiness. We can't get any simpler. If you can't do that, then something is wrong. Something out there is wrong. ثم صلوا على خاتم النبيين وإمام المرسلين فقد أمركم الله بالصلاة والسلام عليه فقال إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم من صلى علي واحدة صلى الله عليه بعشر اللهم صل وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت وباركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وارض اللهم عن الأربعة الخلفاء الأئمة الحنفاء أبي بكر الصديق وعمر الفاروق وذي النورين عثمان وأبي الصديقين علي وعن آل بيت نبيك الطيبين الطاهرين وعن أزواج أمهات المؤمنين وعن الصحابة والتابعين وعنا معهم بمنك وعفوك وإحسانك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم انصر الإسلام وأعز المسلمين اللهم دمر أعداء الدين اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان اللهم أبرم لهذه الأمة أمر رشد يعز فيه أهل طاعتك ويذل فيه أهل معصيتك ويؤمر فيه بالمعروف وينهى فيه عن المنكر إنك يا ربنا سميع قريب مجيب الدعاء إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون